Alrighty, let's turn this morning to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Now, as you know, this passage houses a long conversation, one of the longest in the Bible. Just, you know, the Lord had some long chapters that He spoke and preached, but this is maybe the longest chapter in the Bible where the Lord and somebody else had a dialogue back and forth. So it gives you an idea of what a conversation might be like with Jesus Christ. And I wanted to start here. I'll read a few verses and then skip down to something. We'll cover the whole thing by the time it's over. But you'll notice verse 5, "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave unto his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well," and it was about the sixth hour. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." So she's loaded for bear, ready to go. Now, again, let me just take you down to the closer to the end of the passage for a second. And at this juncture, the disciples come back from buying their food. And you'll see in verse 27, "And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her?" Let's bow our heads here, there, and have a thought or two about that and have a word of prayer. Father, grateful this morning for a chance once again to be able to stand and preach here. And Father, just pray that this word might be a help to somebody. Lord, somebody could get saved from this, I think. But also, Lord, sometimes we Christians have a tendency to look at things maybe from the wrong slant anyway, too. So I pray you might correct our thinking, and Lord, we pray you might do so with thy word and by thy spirit this morning. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you're in John chapter 4, which means you're still fairly early in the Lord's earthly ministry. He has engaged some of his disciples already and heads up to Galilee from Jerusalem, has to stop by Samaria on the way at a town called Sychar. Again, you know, he's still early in his ministry. His disciples are with him. But folks are still busy assessing, you know, what he's all about. And so he starts this conversation with this woman at the well of Sychar. The disciples in verse 8, as we read, have gone away into the city to buy meat for them. They return in verse 27, which we just read. And the Bible says when they returned, the Bible says they marveled that he talked with the woman. Seemed a strange behavior. And I can understand, I suppose, why. First of all, she's a Samaritan woman, foreign woman. So the disciples walk up and find the Lord and this woman engaged in rather intense conversation. And besides all that, this is a historic enemy. The Samaritans don't get along with Jews and vice versa very well. Besides all that, she is a woman with a reputation. And so, while nobody asked the question out loud, it says in verse 27, "Upon this came his disciples and marveled that he even talked with her. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her?" Now, nobody asked it out loud, but they were thinking, "What are you doing? What are you seeking from her?" And I just want to say that that's a historically reasonable question. 30 AD, again, a Jewish male talking to a Samaritan woman, and again, you know, with a reputation at that, as we learn later. And so that's a reasonable question. It's also a reasonable question, I think, for anybody today, because even somebody that's just thinking about Jesus Christ has maybe a reason to ask, okay, what do you want from me? What are you looking for from me? What seekest thou? Right? And for that matter, I can go ahead and say that it's also reasonable for a believer. I mean, okay, Lord, I love you. I need you. What do you want from me? What are you looking for from me, right? So let me preach for a while on what is he seeking? Because that was the first unasked question. What seekest thou? Nobody said that, but they were all thinking in their hearts. They're looking at each other going, what's he doing? Right? And so let me address that. And I'll be clear, the Lord is not a shady dealer. Okay? You don't have to worry about some scandalous thoughts or behavior or anything like that. He's not after your credit cards. You know, he's not out to steal something. He's not out to corner you in some exploitative condition and use you somehow. That's not what it's about at all. So you can set your, you know, you can set that aside if you're worried about that. It's tragic that so many charlatans have fleeced and duped people so that now anybody that says they're representing Jesus Christ, somebody thinks they're up to something. Like I said, not out to steal your wallet, right? But for a good reason, perhaps, some people tend to think that way. He is weary in verse 6. He just needs some rest. The Lord is not just God manifest in the flesh. The problem is he's in the flesh, and so he's mortal. He's tired. According to verse 7, what he wants is a drink. Look down in verse 7. Cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Probably didn't have his canteen with him, didn't have a cup with him. And actually, we don't know whether he ever got the drink or not. It's kind of interesting when you stop and think about that. But I don't know if he got his drink or not. But it's right to ask, what is he seeking? And from you, what is he seeking? Well, I want to say, first of all, what he's not. He's not seeking an argument. He's really not. He says to this woman, verse 7, why do I keep flipping backwards? He said to this woman, verse 7, give me to drink. And his disciples have gone, of course. And so she's pretty saucy, pretty prickly. And I mean, she sees an opportunity. He asks her for something. He's a Jew, a Jewish male, and she's a Samaritan woman. And she don't like men anyway, apparently. And so I mean, she's going to get her pound of flesh by the time this is over. So she goes after him tooth and claw. And says in verse 9, doesn't say whether he got his drink or not, but I can imagine that she may have lowered her water pitcher and let him drink some, because that all the more gives her the right to go after him tooth and claw. Verse 9, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. I mean, she gets after him pretty good. I just want to say that he's not seeking an argument. He was not seeking an argument with this woman. He was not seeking controversy. Can I assure you of something? You say, what does the Lord want from me? Well, he doesn't want a fight. He doesn't want an argument. He's not here to you know, jack you up and get you all upset about something, to make a controversy out of something. That's not why he's here for. And so it's worthwhile for you to remember that, because people get pretty touchy sometimes when the Lord tries to speak to them. I can say this in verse 10, you find the first thing that he seeks. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Well, I learned the answer, at least in part, the first answer to the question in the passage, is what he sought to do was to give her something. He wanted to give her something. He says, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me drink, then you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. You know the what and the who, right? You know he wants to give you a gift. And you do know who it is that's trying to give it to you, right? I know some people don't, but you do. Now let's be straight. We're all beggars. We don't even have the sense to ask, to know what to ask for. So the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. He came all the way down here, put on a robe of flesh, just so that he could give you something that you didn't have sense enough to ask for anyway. All right. So first of all, we're all beggars. We have no sense to know what to ask. And by the way, just to be clear, you don't have anything he needs. You don't have a single thing that he needs. He may want to give you something. What he wants, though, if you're not saved, what he wants he has done without for the entirety of your lifetime. And so that's worth thinking about. And he will not be affected if he never gets back from you what he wants. It will not affect his glory. It will not affect his eternity if he doesn't get from you. He came here to save you. And if you won't get saved and you won't give him something back that he wants, then he's not going to be hurt by it. And so she's kind of iffy. He wants to give her something. And she is not real receptive. I want to say he wants to give you something. He said, I'll give you living water. Okay, that sounds like a pretty good deal. And secondly, I learned from Ephesians chapter 4 that Christ was the gift. The gift of Christ. God gave me Christ as a gift. He wants to give you something. He wants to give you something. He's not an Indian giver. And I know that's an old term, but they used to use that term, or you know, you'd give something and take it back. He's not that way. He's not an Indian giver. He wants to give you something, though. And I want to say he wanted to give her eternal life. He wanted to give her righteousness. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He wants to give you something. He wants to give you righteousness. That's Romans chapter 5, verse 17. And maybe if you will allow him to give you something, maybe that will prime the pump and he can get something back from you that's enjoyable for him, that pleases him. Because, you know, left to yourselves, no man pleases God left to himself. And so, first of all, it's just worth saying that if you want to know, what are you doing? Well, he's trying to give you something. There's no pride. He's trying to give you something. The second thing here, look down in chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now here she comes back at him, right? The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? She goes off like a terrier on a rag doll. I mean, this guy's come up and asked her for a favor. He's a stinking Jew. And so maybe she gave him a drink, but she's going to get her pound of flesh by the time she's done. So she takes him, and she, like a terrier with a rag doll, she goes after him, man. She, all four. It says there in verse 11, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. I mean, she basically accuses Jesus Christ of ineptitude. I mean, you want a drink? You ain't even got a hat to pour any water in. And now you're offering to give me the water of life, everlasting life, and all that kind of stuff. She said, you don't even have anything to draw with. You are completely inept. Verse 11. Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Verse 12. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? It's not enough that she insulted him, but then she has to go off into this territorial controversy about Jacob and the well. So she's going from one thing to another. Like I said, she's getting her pound of flesh from Jesus Christ because he dared ask her for something. And it says that after she spoke those words, verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." He brought up the water to her. And she says, "How are you going to get any water? You can't give me nothing. You don't have nothing to draw water with, punk. You fool. What's the matter with you Jewish males? Rah, rah, rah," right? I'm barking at him. And I just want to say that, you know, he then comes back around. He lets her speak to him that way. And you'll find that he says, verse 13, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." You know what he is seeking? To keep her on the subject. Because he said, "Can you give me some water?" And she goes off on him and maybe gives him water to drink, maybe not. And then takes off on this Jacob's well controversy and all that kind of stuff. And he says, "Can you just stay on the subject with me for just a second?" Do you know it's hard to keep folks on the subject? Now, one of the things the Lord would do, I think, is to try to keep you on the subject. There is nothing more important and pressing than that you should receive a well of water springing up to everlasting life. There's nothing more pressing than that. Can he keep you on the subject? You're a Christian. Even Christians tend to kind of check out pretty quick. If the Lord's going to talk about something they don't really want to talk about or don't really want to address, they immediately go off on something else. It's like she went off to the Jacob's well thing. Well, what about the heathen that never heard? And how did Noah get all those animals on that boat? Where did Cain get his wife? And go off on 1,000 things. Well, what about the heathen that never heard? Well, what about the heathen that have? Like you. The point is that folks are slippery. They're slick. They're like greased pigs. Get them cornered. The Lord tries to get them cornered. And before you know it, you know, they listen and then they get distracted by their phone and they start texting somebody. They forget that in the middle of church, they need to post something on Twitter or whatever it's called these days. And so it's really important. It's really hard for the Lord to nail down, keep somebody on the subject. You realize he's not trying to start an argument with you. He doesn't want a controversy. He is God. He is your creator. He has a right to set you down, put his finger in your chest if he chooses. Instead, really, usually what he allows you to do is slip and slide away. And you don't want to listen, so you say, "Talk to the hand," and off you go. And the Lord winds up having to chase you around trying to get you to listen. But one of the things that he's seeking is to not only give you something, but to keep you on the subject. Why don't you quit trying to slip away? Now down in verse 13, there's something else. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give," so the water from the well is one thing, but the water that I'm offering to give, notice again, he's trying to give you something, "but the water I shall give him, he shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Now, he's trying to liberate her from the concerns of the world. Now, she's still going to need to drink normal water to maintain mortal life, right? But he's offering her another kind of water. And would you agree with me that living water would much more deeply enrich her life than just well water? Even if it was from Jacob's well. Wouldn't living water take some things off her plate? Wouldn't everlasting life solve some problems? You see, folks, one of the things he's trying to do is to liberate her from the concerns of the world. She's spending a lot of time back and forth to a well with all these concerns and cares in her life and all that kind of stuff. I'm saved. I still need money. I need money to pay bills and so on and so forth. But my treasures are laid up in heaven. It's a whole different thing from, you know, me needing money to be able to pay bills and do whatever. It's a whole different thing between that and me needing, wanting, living, obsessing on money, trying to store up as much as I can get so that I can retire long before I have been able to retire so far. Do you understand? Folks need companionship, but the men in her life weren't doing her any good. See, he's offering her something better. He's offering to liberate her from the concerns of the world. I still need clothes. And so I'm going to have to buy clothes to clothe my body. But still there's the passage that says, have you considered the lilies of the field? They don't worry. I'm still going to need to eat and drink. But he said you shouldn't have to worry about eating and drinking because your Father already knows what you need. You see, the point simply is that you still have to deal with stuff, but God will supply all our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Okay? My point, folks, is that, you know, this woman comes to this place with an attitude. And the Lord walks up, asks for something. She lets him have it. He said, if you knew what I was asking for, if you understood what this was that I was trying to give you, he's here to give her something. And then she immediately goes off on him, tries to change the subject, turn things to controversy, turn things to Jacob's well. And you stinking Jews, you've taken this away from us and you're just trying to take this away from us and blah, 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 blah. And he's just trying to keep her on the subject because he's still trying to give her something. And he's trying to liberate her from the concerns of the world because she is totally consumed with her life, just like you, if you're not careful. You're totally consumed by what you want and by what you need and your goals and your career and your this and your that and your worries and your kids and your grandmother and your grandfather, etc., etc. What is he seeking? He's seeking to give you something. He's seeking to keep her on the subject. He's seeking to liberate her from the concerns of this world. There's something almost like that. Look down in verse 12. Art thou, she says, greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, his children, and his cattle? Okay, here she is. Her mind is captivated. It's ensnared by the Jacob's well controversy. And for all of us here, you know, we look at it and go, what does that matter? You know, some well in Samaria. Well, it was as big a deal to her, them, in that day, as the feed my children scandal of the present day here. It's as important to her. It's as big a deal then to her as the Charlie Kirk assassination to us. It's as big a deal as all the political controversy, all the Supreme Court in and out, you know, the political stuff, the latest developments, the latest social media battle royale going on. Those things were really important to her in that day. And he's saying, I'm trying to release you from the controversy of all that stuff so you don't have to worry about it. Because in the end, it doesn't matter a hill of beans. What matters is whether you know me. What matters is whether you will allow me to give you something I'm trying to give you. She's picking fights with him about this Jacob's well controversy. Don't you think when you look at her life and you know a little bit more about her later on, don't you think that she has more pivotal things to deal with than having a controversy about Jacob's well? Let me ask you this. When did Jesus walk up to somebody in Samaria and say, you know, you people got to get this Jacob's well controversy straightened out? Because it's a big deal and you should probably get together a peace plan. And You say, what's the point? Well, the point is, he was trying to relieve her of some of the troubles of her mind that she was, like I said, had in her teeth, like a terrier has a rag doll, shaking it back and forth and throwing it in the air and going and biting it some more. Because that's what she's like. And so I want to say he's not seeking controversy with her. He's trying to give her something. Can I just tell you, I don't know if you're running from God or not, but the Lord's just trying to give you eternal life. If you're saved, the Lord is trying to give you peace from some stuff that you've been wrestling with and biting and chewing. And, you know, you're chewing the inside of your cheek over some stuff that you've heard on the news, over the crookedness of the crooked, crooked world that we live in. And you're just upset about stuff, upset about, go back 5 years, upset about COVID. Doctors and 6 feet and masks, and it's stupid. So much so that it captivates somebody's life for several years, and it's almost like they lose touch with reality. There are people that blew their brains out over COVID. You say, well, it's the government's fault. Well, probably is. But I don't need to have blown my brains out over COVID. That would have been a waste. Say he's trying to relieve her of some controversy. There's some things that you worry about and fret about and are consumed with in this life that don't need your attention. You got to go to work. You got to pay your bills. You need to love your husband and love your wife and love your kids and all those things. But there's some stuff that people deal with, and it's a major issue to them. They lay in bed at night thinking about it, and it's not worth it. He would prefer you to take the gift that he's trying to give you and allow him to take control of some things and relieve you, release you, liberate you from some of the stuff that you're worried about. So, down in verse, this conversation continues. In verse 15, the woman saith unto him, this is after he said, you know, I'll give you the water that will be in him, a well of water springing up into eternal life. In verse 14, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Then Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. Well, she's saying, oh, you're going to give me water, are you? Good. Give it to me. That way, I will never have to come back to this well again. Now, she was going to have to come back to the well because she was going to need physical water, right? He's not talking about physical water. So he says, okay, well, go call your husband. She says, well, I haven't got a husband. He says, I'm glad you said that because you've had five and the one you've got is not yours. It's somebody else's. You say, what's the point? Well, he's not seeking her convenience either. He's not looking for a fight. Not looking for an argument. He's not looking for a controversy. But he's also not going to give her welfare. He's not going to give her a pass. He's not going to give her running water at her house. Right? You understand what I'm saying? He's not there just to make her life easy because she hasn't dealt with her sin yet. He says, okay, go call your husband. And the woman answered, verse 17, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sitst thou truly. Now that shows me something else that he is seeking. He's seeking to give you something. He's seeking to keep you on the subject rather than you jumping off at every opportunity chasing down some rabbit to argue some other point. He is trying to liberate you from some of the concerns of this world. He's going to take care of some stuff if you're his child. And you can quit worrying about some things. Because the chances are you're going to be clothed and you're probably going to eat. So far, it's worked out for most of you on that. Nobody here is naked. And nobody here is 4% body fat. So you're doing okay. Amen? He's here to release. He's came to release her from controversy. And he would like to relieve your mind of some things that you fret and worry and obsess about all the time. And I want to say, and this is something new, verse 17, he says, Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. He that whom thou now hast is not thine husband, and that thou saidst truly. Okay, I want to say that one of the things he's seeking is honesty in a sinner. Whatever else can be said, she's not being sneaky and surreptitious about it. She's got a reputation in town. She's not trying to hide nothing. She says him straight out, I don't have a husband. So she's straightforward with it, right? Let me ask you a question. Are you honest as a sinner? Now, as a lost sinner, you're going to be honest. You have to be honest with yourself. Now, you don't have the answers. In fact, you don't even know the questions. It's going to take him showing up and giving you something because you don't even know what to ask. You don't even have the sense to know what to ask for. That's why he showed up and said, I'm trying to give you something. Okay? If you're saved, you need to ask yourself, are you honest as a sinner? How many times does the Lord have to approach and ask a straight question and you won't deal with it? I mean, how often do you feel a point coming in preaching and you promptly find something else to think about and you kind of tune out? You know, the TV screen goes all staticky for you because you ain't listening to that again. He's already been on that too often. He's done meddling now, and we're just not going to deal with that. So, Lord, just shut up. I wonder. Some sinners Jesus pursues for a lifetime, and they never square up and say, you're right. This is my problem. Some Christians he pursues for a lifetime, and they are very deft at avoidance, at evasion, at parrying a thrust, justifying themselves. And they never just come down and say, you know, I've messed this up my whole life. So one of the things he's seeking is honesty in a sinner. And you know, the thing about that honesty is it's a real tender spot. But you have to admire the woman because she says, I ain't got a husband. He says, glad you said that. And you know, he used that as a chink in her arm. That was a tender spot that he was able to pry and open that woman up. And you know, you're never going to be whole until you're willing to face off with God about what he puts his finger on in your life. It's just true. And the further and the harder you run, the harder the chase becomes. Remember Jonah? Swallowed by a whale, went to hell. Swallowed by a storm, got vomited out on the beach. It's a rough life. It's a rough life running from God. It's a rough life just not saying, you know what? I'm a wimp and I'm a sinner. So yeah, that's what I did. Just admit the problem and let the Lord deal with you about the problem. I want to say it goes further here in verse chapter 4, verse 18. For thou hast had five husbands. He whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. I commend you, he says to the woman. You're honest about that. Praise the Lord. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. A little while ago he was a schlub. A little while ago he's adult. You know, you're a moron. You don't even have anything to draw wire with. And all of a sudden, now he's a prophet. I just want to say, the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. You know what he's after in part? He's out to give you something. He's out to keep you on the subject. He's out to liberate you from worldly concerns and to release you from some of the controversies that affect your mind and heart. He's out for you to be honest with him. He desires that you have deeper insight. She says, Sir. That's probably the first respectful word she said so far, because always before it was like, Sir. Well, now she goes, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. She had deeper perception. He wishes you to have deeper insight towards him. Like I said, she thought he was a dope adult before, asking her water and didn't even have nothing to drink with. And now he makes this wacky promise and doesn't still have anything to draw with. I mean, what a doofus. Well, now she goes, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. All right. Well, I just want to say, for most folks today, Jesus is a take off of Santa Claus. You know, he is just wonderful. He's a kind of a, if Santa Claus and the Pillsbury Doughboy had a child, that's what Jesus would be. Kind of a Mr. Potato Head, you know, somebody that you can put, you know, the eye that you want on, the nose that you want on, the mustache or not, the ears and stuff, and, you know, just kind of build your own God. That's what Jesus is like. It's a very superficial thing. And it's not the Jesus of the Bible at all. It's not the Jesus of the Bible who by him are all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. It's not the Jesus of who upholds all things by the word of his power. It's not the Jesus who is the word of God manifest in the flesh. He is the judge. He is the warrior king. He is the man of war. The Lord is his name. He is coming back in majesty. He's coming back angry and in honor and in glory. He is the Messiah for the Jews. He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world for us and all those things, but deeper insight. Folks just don't know Jesus Christ very well. And one thing that he would seek from you is that you would have deeper insight into him. And most folks aren't in their Bibles. They don't read it. Most folks don't even believe it. And so they never know the deeper Jesus Christ. Superficial is okay in some stuff. I mean, I know some people superficially, but I can't afford to know her superficially. I don't know my kids superficially. Most of you are my friends here. And many of you I don't know superficially at all. I have deeper insight. And that's vice versa, you me, right? And that's what Jesus Christ wants with you. Now, the woman responds by, again, kind of going back to, the default position of trying to just kind of step aside and to avoid the controversy. Because she says in verse 20, Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place that men ought to worship. So she's back to trying to bring him into a fight again. It's kind of hard to break that habit. But Jesus Christ then starts in on something that's very important, because what we said at the beginning is he wants to give you something. You don't even know what you have to offer him. He's done without. You know, before we got saved, he's done without what you have to offer him, and he's not hurt by it. But maybe if he can give you something, maybe if he gives you the Holy Spirit, if that water springs up into everlasting life and you have some praise and glory for him, maybe you can give him something back. Maybe him giving something primes the well so that you can give him something back that he appreciates. What do you seek in Jesus? Well, notice down in verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor in yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Now you got to ask what Jesus is seeking. That's what our question is. Well, in the end, he's seeking something for his Father. He's seeking that this sinner that he's willing to give something to would glorify and worship the Father in spirit and in truth. If you don't know what you can give the Father, if you don't know what Jesus is after in your life, you can always default to the position of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Jesus Christ will be happy if you will worship God in spirit and truth. What's he after? That's part of what he's after. Let me show you something else real quick down in chapter 4, verse 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. So she's still kind of trying to sidestep this. Tired of dealing with him. He's a little too prickly for her. She bit off more than she can chew. And he's getting too close. And so she's kind of trying to sidestep and say, well, one day we'll find out more when Jesus comes. When Christ comes. And so he says, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Okay. So he said, she said, well, we'll get answers one day when the Messiah comes and fulfills all things. And he said, yep, I'm him. She said, oh. Okay, well, you know what he seeks? He seeks to fulfill beyond your expectations. I mean, she didn't know the Messiah was coming that day to talk to her, and she was going to get sassy, and he was going to put her in her place. And she's going to say, okay, well, give me the water then. And he says, okay, go get your husband. And all of a sudden she goes, well, I don't have one. He says, you're right. You've had five, and the one you've got is not yours. So this is getting way deep for her, right? Well, I just want to say, Jesus Christ seeks to fulfill beyond your expectations. Take your Bible real quick. Turn to Ephesians 3. I know you know the passage, Ephesians 3. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Okay. Sometimes people fall in love with the Jesus they want to be. I'm telling you, the one that is far better to fall in love with than the one that you erect in your mind and think, boy, that would be somebody I would really love to serve. I would love to serve a Jesus that was a part of the NRA and was a carnivore and drove a Suburban. Boy, I could serve him. No. He seeks to fulfill beyond anything that you could ever dream or expect. And if you don't know that yet, well, one day you'll probably wind up in a hospital with somebody, or maybe yourself, or there'll be a funeral, or there'll be some hard thing that somebody has to go through, that you have to go through. And in that day, you're going to find Jesus Christ fulfills expectations at a much different level than you could have ever imagined in your mind. Let me say, just as the last thing here, look in chapter 4, down in verse 39, they finish what they're doing, and you know, you can see that, you know, about that time the disciples come back in verse 27. And so the woman leaves her water pot, goes to the into the city. It says in verse 29, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" And so all these folks are streaming out to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me skip ahead for just a second. We're answering the question, what is the Lord seeking? Well, down in verse 39 for just a minute, "Many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.' So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" You know what he seeks? He seeks to do for every man what he did for the woman. He said, "I want to give you a gift. I want to give you water springing up to everlasting life. I want you to be honest with me. You know, I want you to see me deeper than you see me. I want to get you to do something for my Father. Worship him in spirit and truth." And so she did. He fulfilled more than her expectations, and so she went and told, and the whole town comes out. By the time it's said and done, he has given to the entire, to all those that respond out of the entire city, what he gave the woman. Now here's the deal. If you go back to verse verse 27, he's still talking to the lady. And upon this, verse 27, "came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman." And this is where we started the sermon. "Yet no man said," I mean, they thought it. They wanted to say it. What in the world are you doing? "Why talkest thou with her?" What are you talking to her for? "The woman then left her water pot and went her way unto the city and saith to the men," you know what she said. Then verse 31, "In the meantime, while his disciples prayed him, saying, 'Master, eat,' he said unto them, 'I have meat to eat, you know not of.'" And he came asking for a drink. Maybe he got it, maybe he didn't. He had sent the disciples in to get food, and now he says, "I'm not hungry. I already ate." Okay, what I'm getting at there, folks, is that the disciples are baffled. They're baffled because they've gone through all this stuff to get food, and they come back and he's not hungry. He's talking to this weird woman. She runs off and going to the city, and now a whole bunch of people are coming out of the city to come talk to Jesus. You know, the point is, his own disciples that day didn't get what he was seeking. They wanted to ask him, "What are you doing?" Well, by the time it's over, she knew what he was doing. And all the men that she affected in the city knew what he was doing. So my question for us here is, how blind are we? Do you know what he wants from you? Do you know what he seeketh? Because there's some things here that plainly he was seeking. Not the least of which is he wants to give you something. He wants to give you a well of life springing up into everlasting life. He seeks honesty. He seeks you to know him better. That's what he wants from you. That's what those men learned. That's what the woman learned. But somehow the disciples still were lagging behind. Let's not be one of those. Amen? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Well, Father,